More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Momfident. Stop criticizing yourself, moms, and start reclaiming your confidence. We'll show you how. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, it's Momfidence Monday, as we talk about how you moms can stop criticizing yourselves and maybe each other and start reclaiming your confidence. Give us a call. We want to help you overcome all those things that undermine your confidence as the great godly mom that you are. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, and as I say over at momfidence.org, momfidence is for every mom at every age and every stage. You never stop being a mom. From the minute that stick turns blue till the rest of eternity, you are a mom. If you were a mom of someone, and that I've got to say,
you are a mom forever in the order of Melchizedek.
It's the truth. And I've got to say that includes the momming that we do even when God's given us spiritual motherhood over other people, you know, that real concern and that real involvement in people's lives, even if we don't, you know, have the proper heading of mom. I know that I would not be the woman that I am today if I didn't have a spiritual mother that came into my life when I was 15 years old and brought me back to the church. And she is still very much my mom to this day, sometimes even more so than my biological mom who raised me. So I was in a good Catholic way raised by two moms, you know, one who took care of my physical needs and one who took care of my spiritual needs. So wherever you are on that momming continuum, whether you're just getting started or you're getting started again, and don't we, ladies, get started again every single day. And you know this is true for dads, too. You're like, you lay your head on the pillow one night and you say, I think I've got this. I'm in really good rapport with this kid. I handled that situation today. I've got this. And then you wake up the next morning and everything's changed because they're growing and they're changing. And their social lives, once they get to school, is like watching a daytime soap opera because it changes rapidly and it's always dramatic. And there's something new and you feel like you're starting from scratch some days all over again, whether they're infants, toddlers, 12, 22, 52, it doesn't matter. Well, it's always new.
And then, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get them out of the house and get them married, you think, I'm done now. And then grandkids.
Nonsense.
Then you start raising your grandkids, and that's a whole nother ball of wax. And we're here
literally so many of us are raising grandkids these days, or at least helping most of the time.
We are here for moms of all ages and stages, so give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, what are those things that undermine your confidence as a mom? What are those challenges that you face as a mom? Whether they're behavior issues, struggles with your own sense of self, ability to take care of yourself and balance everything, you name it. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. And Lisa, you mentioned it in passing, but you do have a brand new podcast up at momfidence.org. A blog to soon follow.
Went up last night.
And folks should check it out, not just that one podcast, but all the other resources that are at momfidence.org to support moms in helping them have the confidence they deserve to have and doing the most important job.
Well, and it's also at Momfidence Official on Instagram and Facebook. So sometime today or tomorrow, we'll give you the link right in your Instagram or Facebook feed if you follow me on Momfidence Official. There's a really nice community starting there. And today, we're really talking on momfidence.org, on the podcast, about how to achieve the dreams that you have, the wishes that you have when, as a mom, and you're saying, I just wish, fill in the blank, I just wish my home was more orderly. I just wish my kids got along better. I just wish that I was a more affirming mother or a more confident mother. I just wish that I had a better spiritual life with my kids. Whatever that is, I'm giving very practical steps on how to identify it and make those changes very simply and very easily today. So if that sounds of interest to you, join me over at Momfidence Official on Instagram and Facebook and momfidence.org for everything else that we're doing over there.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us what's undermining your confidence as a mom or making it more difficult to be the mom you'd like to be, whether it's your kid's behavior, your relationship with your kid's dad, or anything else that is complicating your motherhood or your sense of confidence in your ability as a mom. 877-573-7825. One of the things that inspired today's show is a brand new article in the journal Family Communications that takes a look at this. I thought this was funny. The different ways that moms view other moms.
Watch out. You're talking about landmines right now.
So researchers interviewed moms to identify seven different stereotypes that moms have about other moms. They also identified the three most hated groups of moms by all moms and made recommendations for how to get past that bias. So
my stomach twists when I even hear you say that. I just, thanks for adding to the well, stuff article.
So the seven stereotypes are the overworked mom who wants to do it all but's overextended and it shows. The second type of mom is the home family
oriented
mom.
Oh, I love that. And it shows.
Yes.
So work your nonsense off, but just don't show it. Yeah. That's really what we hear a lot as moms.
The second stereotype that moms have about other moms is the home family oriented mom who prioritizes children and partner's needs and responsibilities at home. Then there's the ideal mom who juggles several responsibilities but gets it all done and doesn't appear to be stressed. The next stereotype is the hardworking mom who's balanced, may not be an ideal mom, but is ambitious and dedicated. There's the non-traditional mom who is modern, liberal, progressive, who makes choices that are good for herself and family, whether at home or work. There's the stereotype of the traditional mom who embodies the roles expected of a woman, believes her main purpose is to raise children and maintain a household. And then there's the stereotype of the lazy mom who's not nurturing, attentive, or hardworking. This one tends to only apply to stay-at-home moms, according to the research. So of these stereotypes, which do you think are the most hated stereotypes by other moms? Like, so that when moms look at other moms, they say, oh, we don't want to hang out with those moms over there. They're awful.
You know, I intentionally did not read this article that you found before the show because I wanted to be able to just react and not come in at it with full head of steam. I would guess any mom who, like, looks too perfect is probably the one.
Good
because,
guess. Well,
and my qualifier for that is because for those of us who kind of tense up at that kind of mom, it just makes us feel like, whether the other mom is saying this or not, like we have to swallow any struggle we have. Like we can't say, I'm having a rough time today, or this isn't an easy thing to do. It all has to be glossed over. And I think that's why when we perceive someone else to be that way, we get that negative reaction. Am I close to right here?
Yeah, actually. So there are three groups of stereotypes that moms hate the most about other moms. According to the results, the ideal and the lazy mothers drew the most contempt from both working and stay-at-home moms. In third place were the overworked stay-at-home moms who were also near the top of the contempt list in the eyes of other moms. Researchers said that the moms that they interviewed admitted that they would treat a mom that they considered lazy or ideal poorly. They would exclude her.
Easy or ideal.
They would exclude her from the social group. They would argue with her or even verbally attack her.
Well, first of all, ladies, stop it. Yeah. Can we all just get each other and be kind to each other and have each other's backs and be a tribe? That would be, first of all, which is also part of the reason I created Momfidence.org, so that we have a place to support each other no matter where we're coming from.
So researchers did suggest that that we all keep in mind that perception is not always reality. That a lot of times, we might look at somebody else and think, oh, they're ideal or they're lazy or they're this way, when the circumstances are really very, very different. And they say that mothers should really think of other mothers as an ally, not someone to compare themselves to. And they suggested working to build relationships and find things for moms to find things in common with other moms rather than seeing it as a competition. I mean, important advice. But I think, I don't want to belabor this article, but I thought it was an interesting piece that really looks at how we do have a tendency to judge other people based on perception and undermine each other's efforts, even when we're all trying to do the same thing. You know, be great parents. So, all the folks out there, all the moms especially out there, let's maybe cut back on the comparing and the judging, and let's all try to work together to support each other in doing this important work. That's what we're doing today on our show titled Momfident, as we invite moms to look at all the things that are undermining their confidence in being an effective mom and remove those obstacles so that you can be the grace-filled, whole, healed, happy mom that you're called to be. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the gift of our children. And we lift up all the moms and dads today who are working hard to be good and godly parents, and we recognize all the struggles that we face as parents as we strive to respond to our children the way they need us to, but ultimately to lead our kids to you. Help us all remember that our children don't belong to us, that they are your children, that they come from you and ultimately are meant to be returned to you. And help us to cooperate with your grace to lead our children to an experience of your love through our relationship with them, and to not be distracted by other people's opinions or our own self-criticism or all the other things that attempt to stop us in bringing your love to our children so that they might see your face reflected in our eyes. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Momfident, we are inviting you to stop criticizing yourself, moms, and start reclaiming your confidence. Let's talk about those things that are getting in the way of you being the confident mom you want to be at 877-573-7825.
And remember, this is for any mom. So whether you're just starting out or your children are grown and you have grandchildren and you're still trying to figure out how to deal with the children now that they're adults and so stubborn, we're here for you. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking now with Rachel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Hey,
what
so
can
much
we
for
do
my
for
call.
You? Yeah, well, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
I have late stage Lyme disease.
I'm so sorry.
I've had it for 20 years this coming spring. But I was only diagnosed 3 years ago. So at this point, I'm pretty much bedbound.
Okay.
I have a teenager and a seven-year-old. And I've been sick their whole lives, so they're used to it. But I really have gone downhill pretty dramatically in the last 3 years.
Mm.
And I'm trying to look for ways that I may not have thought of already, you connect with them and be a good mom for them when I can't drive my teenager places. I can't get up and play a game with my boy.
So when you say the things that you maybe haven't already thought of, what are you doing currently to connect with your kids?
I read out loud to them.
Yay.
We play board games in bed when we can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
We... I mean, just things I can do from bed. And I'm not in bed 100% of the time. It is every day, but it's not like all day every day.
Okay.
When they are at school, I rest so that I can have a little bit of energy when they get home. But I can't do things like cook meals or help them with things or, you know,
physical
normal
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
You know, Rachel, I want to say, first of all, I got you on this. I spent, how many years, Greg, would you say? Four? Five, at least?
Yeah.
Of two oldest children's lives in bed. I had a very difficult chronic neurological disease. And it was really just through the grace of God that I found healing and that I'm here today. But I was raising two small children, starting off tandem nursing them. I got very sick after our second daughter was born. I had been sicker before that. After our second daughter was born, I was in bed for at least 2 years, our second child. And it was rough. And I gotcha. But I'm telling you, Rachel, you are doing great stuff. The fact that you are mindful about this and thinking, what can I do? And doing those things. My two oldest kids were with us a couple of years ago on a family vacation. And we were just talking over dinner one night, and they started to reminisce about all the books that we read when Mom couldn't get out of bed or off the couch, and all the books that they loved, and then all the games that we played. I'm not saying what you're going through is remotely happy, but you're making it as happy as you can. And there are a lot of moms out there who don't have time to cook dinner, are so busy working that they can't drive their teenager anywhere anyway, and they don't get time to read with their child, to play a game with their child, to lay in bed and listen to their child at the end of the day. There are actually real gifts that you are giving to your child, your children, by making the most of the energy that you do have during the day. So I say blessings on your head for doing everything that you are doing so far. You're an amazing mom.
So there are two things I'm going to ask you to consider in addition to what you already said, and just building on what Lisa said, because God bless you for being so intentional about your motherhood in the face of the very physical challenges that you're encountering. One, I'd like you to, you know, we talk constantly about the need to establish rituals of connection around praying, working, talking, and playing together. Okay, so just look at that and ask yourself, you know, what are those ways that I can make sure that every day I'm getting a little bit of time to pray, work, talk, and pray with my kids. Pray, work, talk, play.
Sorry, you can do
kids.
It.
I can say it. You know, those four categories. I'm going to say them again because we don't get it. Pray, work, talk, play. Okay.
And now you might say, I can't work with my children. Well, if you're laying on the couch while they're doing the dishes after they've had whatever meal they've had and you're talking with them and you're there, or you can get up long enough to wipe off the table while they're doing the dishes. Those are actual
work rituals
that they will remember.
If you're doing it intentionally and doing it together, or even helping them with their homework, for example, is another
which
work
you can
ritual.
Do laying in bed.
Okay, so just kind of touching on those four categories of activity, even for a few minutes every day. Secondly, I want you to make a list of when you feel like you're making the best connection with your kids. Right. When do you feel most connected? Write down the things that facilitate that connection. What goes on that helps you feel close to them? And then try to be intentional about creating those moments every day, as your physical health allows. But the point is, it allows you to not miss things or let things just kind of drop off the radar because, you know, maybe you've been sick for a couple of days and you forget to do this, and then pretty soon it just sort of goes away. This way you have the list there, you can kind of take it back out and really start building on that. But if you're able to look at those two things, all right, on top of what you're already doing, that's going to help you build those rituals and maintain those rituals and also be intentional about being your best regardless of how you're feeling.
And the other thing is, ask them. Say, you know how I am, you know that this is kind of where we're stuck, but to let them know, I want to be the best mom I can possibly be within the confines of what I'm dealing with physically, what are your favorite things that we do? What do you want to be able to do more of with this mom that you've been given? So that when you do have any energy, you can put your energy towards those particular things that really pay off in the hearts of your children.
Rachel, we got to go to break, but thank you so much for calling in. God bless you, and we keep your health in our prayers as we add you
really
to the Mortal
Life
prayer list. And also lift up your family and your connection with your kids. Thank you so much for being willing to do the hard work of being a good mom in spite of the physical struggles that you're facing. We are taking your calls, ladies and gentlemen, about what makes it difficult to be the mom you would like to be or support the mom in your life. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk it out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by John and Claire Grabowski. They are the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations, and they're going to be sharing different ways that moms can hold on to their confidence and dads can support the mom that in their lives. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and joining us right now, John and Claire Grabowski. John Grabowski is a moral theologian at Catholic University of America. Together, he and his wife, Claire, have served on the Pontifical Council for the Family. They're the authors of the great book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations, from TAM Publications. Unfortunately, I think that we are having difficulty getting a hold of Claire, who's out momming today. So John's going to talk to us about how to support, how dads can support their wives in their motherhood. Hey, John, welcome to Mortal Life.
Thanks. Great to be with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. So, yeah,
and it really proves exactly what we need to talk about during the whole show. You can't do this all by yourself as a mom, and if you're blessed enough to have a partner who can come alongside of you and grab some of it sometimes, it really helps to be able to cover all the bases.
Claire meant to be here, but she was unable to join us at the last minute. So, John, let's talk about this as dads, right? What do we need to do to support the moms in our lives?
There's so much. But, I mean, one of the things Claire and I stress when we work with couples to help them prepare for an upcoming marriage is the scripture from Ecclesiastes 4:12, where one alone may be overcome, two together can resist. A three-ply cord is not easily broken. Whenever I hear that verse, I always think of Fulton Sheen's little classic, soon-to-be Saint Fulton Sheen's little classic book, Free to Get Married, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I can do as a husband, as a father, is to help my wife remember I have her back, but really God has both of our backs. So we need to lean on that grace.
Yeah, lean on that grace. And as you've discussed here with Claire many times, actually pray together, you know, instead of being at odds about how to raise the kids or how to be supportive of her,
or even
take it to prayer together.
Or even, you know, instead of trying to fix the problems that she might come to you with, you know, to say, you know, I don't know, but why don't we take a minute and pray about it together and go to the one who does have both of our backs?
Absolutely. It can be a really good way, and we've found that over the years, to kind of push the reset button on a day when, you know, you're going off kilter, when the kids are driving you nuts or relatives are driving you nuts, to say, you know what, let's just pray, let's give this to the Lord, let's seek his wisdom and grace, because this is over our heads. But again, it's never too much for the Holy Spirit, so we just have to remember to be able to hit that reset button. And that's really something, as a husband, I can do for my wife when I see her struggling, when I see her challenged.
Well, John, I want to thank you for being with us and for reminding us of the importance, especially all the dads out there, of remembering to be that spiritual support to our wives, and especially when they're having a tough day being a mom, to not try to just sweep in and fix things or even dismiss it, but to remember to accompany them and bring them and the struggles that they're facing to God, who can bless us both. And if folks would like to learn more about your good ministry, they can check out your book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. John, thanks so much for being with us. Please give Claire our love.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You bet. God bless. And we are taking your calls today on our show titled Momfident, as we look at those things that undermine moms' confidence in being the moms they want to be. Are you struggling with your kids' behavior, with your own sense of self as a mom, with your ability to take care of yourself and everybody else, or with difficulties in the marriage that are making it difficult to be a mom, or anything else that is undermining your momfidence? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll work it out. More to Life will continue after the break.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What does the Church mean when she speaks of social justice? The Catholic Catechism says society ensures social justice when it allows associations and individuals to obtain their due. Social justice can only be accomplished by respecting the transcendent dignity of man. In other words, society exists for man. Man does not exist for society. The person, says the Catechism, represents the ultimate end of society, which is ordered to him. By refusing to recognize the inherent rights of the individual as endowed by the Creator, a society undermines its own moral legitimacy, according to Pope John the 23rd. Respect for the human person stems from the principle that everyone should look upon his neighbor as another self. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the best things you can do for your marriage is to learn your spouse's love style, the style that your spouse likes to give and receive love in. People with a visual love style need to see that you love them, tangible tokens of affection, such as flowers and gifts, mean the world to them because they can see the thought you put into them. People with an auditory love style love to feel through their ears. They love to have long conversations, hearing I love you and hearing praises. Finally, people with a kinesthetic or touch-oriented love style need to feel how much you love them through affection and acts of service. Just being there is very important to this type of person. Which love style best fits you? Which best fits your spouse? Today, take the time to think of how your spouse will best receive love from you, and then act on that. For more on maintaining a happy, healthy, lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Momfident, as we look at all those challenges that tend to undermine mom's confidence in her ability to be the mom that God wants her to be, that she wants to be. So, hey, moms, is something getting in the way of you feeling like you can be the mom that you want to be? Struggles with your kids' behavior, challenges in the marriage that are making being a mom more difficult.
Life circumstances that just make you feel like you can't go all in as a mom the way you want to because you've got so much on your mind.
Or even struggles to take care of yourself and everybody else that wants a piece of you. Or for that matter, if you are a guy who is wondering how to support your wife, the mom of your kids, we want to help you. Be there for her. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hey there, Christine. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call this morning.
What can we do for you?
Well, I had a rough week last week. I have seven children, ages ranging from 21 to 4. And I find that I have a hard time when my kids have, like, a hard day and they come to me and you know, go through their problems with me, not being just emotionally drained afterwards.
Sure.
And I just was wanting some strategies to maybe be able to help them, but still not feel like I've just been through a battle myself.
What would you say, if you could take just a second to think about it here, makes you feel most emotionally drained by that? Is it the way it goes? Is it your fears that are going through your head while you're handling it? Is there something about it you don't feel equal to, or is it just kind of their attitude? What would you say is the most draining part of helping them with all that emotional stuff?
Christine, you still with us?
Oh, we might have lost our connection.
Let's try that again. Christine, still there?
You know, I can hear her in the background, but yeah. We lost a decent cell connection.
Okay,
there.
So the question...
We'll do our best.
Oh,
are you there?
Last time. I think we lost her.
We
okay.
can just hear her, but not quite.
All right. Well, so look, we're gonna go ahead with what we got. So the question, again, Christine's asking, you know, she's got seven kids, 21 to 4, and whenever they're coming to her with different problems and challenges, she just feels kind of emotionally burned out from the whole experience. And, you know, was wondering, how do I handle that so it doesn't feel quite so much like a battle?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is what we were talking about with John Grabowski, which is stop thinking you're God. Okay? One of the things that drains me as a mom is when I look at a situation that one of my children brings to me and I allow my brain to begin to panic because I think I have to have all the answers, or like God is waiting for me to fix it so he can either scold me or applaud me. But when I can stop for a minute and say to my kids, you know, gee, this is really hard. This, what you're going through is difficult. Let's just take a second and ask God to give us wisdom on this. Let's just take a second and ask God to intercede. And don't wait for them to say yes or no. Yeah, mom, that's okay. Or no, mom, don't do that. That's, you know, your God thing. But just say, Lord, right now my child is going through this difficult situation, and I want to be able to heal their heart. I want to be able to give them good guidance on this and show them what to do that's going to give them the outcome they're looking for. I want to be able to comfort them, but I'm not you. I can do my best, but I'm not you. I can only do it with you, and only you can really fix it, and only you can really give us the insight and the answers that we need. Please come into this situation
right
now.
And pray with them. Don't just pray for them. Pray with them in that moment.
You know, on the couch with them. You know, and then you say, "Look, honey, is there anything you want to add to this? What do you need from God in this situation?"
If you go over to momfidence.org and you look, we have several momfidence principles that momfidence is kind of based on. And one of those things is, I know that I'm not alone. I know that I don't parent on my own.
That's right.
And that's really what Lisa's speaking to here. We need to, both as moms and dads, resist the temptation to try to fix our kids' problems.
That doesn't mean we don't give advice or lead or guide or disciple.
But if
we don't do it on our own.
No, but I mean, a lot of times our kids come to us with something like, I don't know what to do about this. I mean, there's not an easy answer, right? And so
we can't untie the knots that are in there because there are other kids from other families involved or other situations we're not in control of.
So instead of just throwing out advice to make ourselves feel good, but just really don't do anything, or getting frustrated because we can't think of something, or getting angry with our kid because they just added one more stressor to our day that we don't know what to do with. The first thing we need to do is exactly what you said, Lisa. Go to God with them. Say, okay, you know what? I'm not sure exactly what to say, but let's take it to God and pray through this together. That's number one. The other thing that I would suggest to you, Christine, is asking questions. And we talk about this in Parenting with Grace, you know, how to ask questions that lead kids to help them find godly solutions. So, for instance, you might ask them, okay, so help me, remind me now, you know, what are the qualities that you think would be most helpful here in this situation? Do you think that you need to be more patient? Do you think that you need to be more courageous? Do you think that you need more, like, what are the qualities, like, if you could come out of this feeling like you handled it well, what qualities do you think you need to put into practice in this situation? And then the next question is, if you had those qualities, what would you do? How would you live it out? How would you respond? Okay. So the point is, you're not the fixer. Okay. You're the facilitator. You're the mentor. You're asking questions that help your kids discover their own answers. And you're doing that in prayer. Now, yeah, like Lisa, you just said, you know, you can sometimes, when you can give advice or you can be helpful, great. But if you want to take down your stress temperature, especially with seven kids coming to you with problems, the first thing you want to do is bring it to God. Second thing you want to do is ask them questions to kind of get their baseline and help them start thinking through stuff on their own by getting them to recognize the qualities that they need to apply to the situation and what applying those qualities in that situation would actually look like. So I think that if you're able to use those two strategies, that's going to get you most of the way. Now, I'm sorry that we lost your connection. If there is more that we can do to support you in this, once you've tried to follow through with some of these things, don't hesitate to call us back here on More to Life. We'll get you the rest of the way, but I really think this will get you started. And for more tips, again, go to momfidence.org or follow Momfidence on Momfidence Official on Facebook or Instagram. And also check out Parenting with Grace, a Catholic parent guide to raising almost perfect kids, which talks through that strategy of helping kids solve their own problems by us taking on that role of mentor instead of fixer. Thanks again for the call, Christine. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about all those challenges that you might face in being a mom, being the mom that you want to be, the mom that God's calling you to be.
Because it's rough. Let's get there right now. And, you know, Greg, we started the show talking about these types of moms, these stereotypical types of moms. And one of the things that kept coming up in the article that they did was this idea of looking like you have it all together. And whether you're a mom or not, we are living in a world where as long as we look good, people applaud us. But it's nonsense, because that doesn't stop the reality of our lives, the pain that's in our lives. I mean, we see it all the time. I'm thinking of one particular actress that I know who is really physically suffering, has a lot of really physical, difficult, life-threatening issues. But as long as she looks good on the red carpet, everybody's like, yeah, she's great, she's awesome. And yet, you know, most of the days of her life, she's truly suffering and having a difficult time. We need to stop doing that to each other as moms because only when we can start to support each other and not tear each other down or judge each other by how we're looking, we're holding it all together, will we get the support that we really need in order to become the moms that we want to be, the moms that we can be, and find our joy again with the support of others. Although even without that support, you can find real joy in your role of being a mom. If you'd like to find more joy today, if there's a struggle you're having that you need some help and guidance with, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
All right, with that, let's go to Elizabeth, who's listening in Dallas, Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello, yes. Well, my question is, it has to do with my daughter. She's 11 years old. Back in spring, she was hospitalized because she was having, like, bad body image issues, and she was starting to cut herself. So they put her in counseling, and she was seeing a counselor, and she's seeing a counselor and also, like, a psychiatrist. But it took us all summer, and finally, they said that her anxiety was due to mild ADHD, and I think they're recommending Concerta.
All right, so I'm not getting the connection here. So you started by saying that she had body image issues and she's cutting, but now they're saying that that's specifically due to ADHD? I've never heard that. So what? Did I misunderstand you there, or connect the dots here?
No. Well, she talked out her problems, and it was just that some of her friends did said bad comments to her, so I think that's why she was doing it. But now they said that she has ADHD, and that causes her a lot of anxiety. So I don't know if Concerta is something that...
Well, Concerta is a common medication for ADHD. I'm never going to undermine somebody's active treatment, okay? But I'm going to ask you to ask certain questions, all right? Because my own personal bias in general, and this is not based on feelings, this is based on research. If you even Google, legitimate sources, I don't mean just like any random sources on
medical sources, right?
You're going to find that the first course of treatment for ADHD or really any childhood anxiety is not medication. The latest research does not recommend that medication would be a first go-to for treating childhood behavior and emotional problems. That the best approach is really cognitive behavior therapy because it teaches skills. And here's the thing, you got an 11-year-old kid, okay? Her brain is still growing. And when you give an 11-year-old child behavioral skills and structures that help her brain grow in healthy ways, then she's able to adapt and develop those skills and the maturity that she needs to outgrow the ADHD and the anxiety. If you just give her medication, it doesn't really fix things, okay? She can't be on it forever, number one. And number two, it doesn't teach her skills. It compensates. And I don't want to be overly harsh on medication. Medication can be helpful as a support to cognitive behavioral interventions.
Well, let's look at this from a physical perspective. And we often mention this in other areas, but it's particularly true when dealing with children who are dealing with ADHD and that kind of, disorder, if you would. Let's say we took this to the physical and she had a broken leg. All right. If the doctor mended the broken leg and put her on pain meds and said, just keep her on the pain meds, that'll control everything, it's fine. You'd be looking...
Or didn't even set her leg, just put her on pain meds,
yeah,
for that matter.
But even if he did, you'd be looking at somebody who could get through the day, sort of, but wouldn't ever be getting the strength that they needed to be able to use that leg properly again, have it function well, and have the pain eventually go away because it's been strengthened and taught properly how to re-walk after being off of it for so long. The mind is the same kind of thing.
So we don't appreciate this, but cognitive therapy is physical therapy for the brain. So I want you to go to your... Now, you said they told you, which implies to me that, you haven't been involved in your daughter's treatment as much as you could, okay? I don't mean that as a judgment on you. I mean that she's an individual therapist.
Perhaps they didn't invite you in as much,
So I'm going to encourage you to ask to be part of the sessions. And I want you to challenge the therapist to teach you behavioral strategies that you can use with your daughter at home to help her have both the mental and behavioral structure that she needs to be able to outgrow the ADHD. Because here's the thing. The other thing with ADHD is there, and I'm not making this number up, there are literally 26 different things that could cause ADHD. ADHD isn't a thing. It's not one thing. It's not just one thing you can cure with a pill. It's 26 different constellations of problems that manifest themselves as distractibility and impulsivity. Okay, and you know, it could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be
you don't have time to list these 26 things.
I mean, so that's why behavioral strategies work better, because when you use a pill to try to address 26 random problems, you may or may not get a connection there. Okay, so sure, it can be helpful as a secondary supportive element of your daughter's treatment. But I would prefer you go in there and say, look, I would really like to be much more part of this whole process. Teach me behavioral and cognitive strategies to help my daughter learn to outgrow the ADHD. And if they won't do it, find a therapist who will, because there are. And that's
most,
who you want to be working with.
Most good therapists who do treat this will want the parents and even the other siblings involved in a family cognitive therapy so that the structures can change in the home and you can all be happier and calmer and live better lives together, because you're living in a structure together. She's not living on an island by herself. So get more involved in her treatment and ask them to begin teaching you all how to change the structures in your family through cognitive behavioral therapy for the whole family, not just your daughter in an isolated situation.
Now, if you're doing all that, then sure, you can, and it's not you're bearing the results you're looking for, sure, the medication can be also helpful. But please start there. And that goes for all you listeners out there who teachers are saying, you know, your kid should be on ADHD medication, or, you know, whose primary care physician wants to put your kid on ADHD meds. It's all the research really shows that when you're talking about kid problems, medication is supportive at best. You want to start with cognitive behavior therapy. You parents want to be involved in the process so you're learning those strategies that you can do with your kid at home to help them overcome the ADHD or the anxiety or the depression or the behavior problems or whatever it is. Medication can be secondary, but please don't go there first, because it really doesn't help kids as much as you think it does. 877-573-7825. We're talking about momfidence today on More to Life, helping you, moms, overcome those challenges that are undermining your ability to be the mom you want to be. And for all you guys out there, if you want to learn how to support your wife, the mom of your kids, better, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Hey, by the way, we're talking about momfidence today on More to Life, helping moms be the moms that they want to be. But if you're looking for additional support, check out our brand new resource, momfidence.org. It's a great community for moms of every age and stage. At least you have a new podcast up today. The blog will soon follow. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at Momfidence Official. It's like confidence, but mom in front of it. Momfidence Official on Facebook and Instagram, or momfidence.org. With that, let's go to Monica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Omaha, Nebraska, on KVSS Spirit Catholic Radio.
Thank you. I'm calling regarding my oldest child, who is one of seven, and he's 20 years old, and he couldn't have been more loved or wanted or rejoiced over when he was born, and we wanted to give him everything and be the best parents that we could be to him. He had a lot of behavior struggles growing up, more than all of our other six children combined, and I tried a variety of parenting techniques and responses to him, because I wanted to be the best I could be for him. I wanted to parent his heart and never break his spirit. And
Monica, I don't mean to jump in, but we've only got 3 minutes, so you see, okay. What's going on now?
So he has a lot of resentment and anger about the way that he was parented, and his spirit was broken, and I want very much to restore what's been broken, and I've apologized to him for not parenting his heart and have told him, you know, I can't change the past, but I could change the future, and I want to learn how to best parent your heart.
Good for you.
But I carry a backpack every day of regret for not responding to him in a way that brought out the best in him. And I don't want to carry this backpack anymore.
Sure.
But I don't know how to throw it in the ocean. And it's okay. It paralyzes me because I feel so regretful and just.
Let me just ask you this one
paralyzed.
Last question, and then we'll offer some thoughts here. First of all, let me just say, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, and secondly, you're responding to it as well as a parent possibly could. So real big props to you.
Absolutely.
You know, great parents aren't perfect, but what they do is they respond to the challenges that are put in front of them, and you're doing that.
And really, the idea that you said to him, I'm really sorry that things went down the way they did. I want to be the best parent I can to you now, is right spot on. I hope you also said to him, how can I do that?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Is there something specific he's asking for you, or asking from you now, to be supportive in the way that he would like you to be?
He's not giving specifics yet because he's still very stuck in the past. And so only a time machine at this point, you know, would make him feel better. But
I got to say, mom to mom here, don't let him get away with that. Right now, he's using his pain to A, make himself more and more depressed, and B, throw it all on you. And I want you to go to him and say, honey, I love you. I'm sorry that things went down the way they did and you're in this place right now, but I want you to start coming up with even one or two concrete things that you'd like to see in our relationship now, because it doesn't sound like he's forward-thinking at all
Well, and how to get there is to, when he starts complaining about stuff in the past, ask him, what's going on in your life right now that's reminding you of that?
Oh, I like that.
Okay, so the reason he's bringing up those things from the past is that there's something going on in the present that he doesn't want to talk about. It's not safe to talk about that, right? He's afraid to talk about it. He doesn't know how to talk about it, so he's bringing up old stuff. So say, what's going on in your life now that's reminding you of this thing? And let me help you deal with that, okay? So focus on that. The other piece, when you say, you know, I've carried this backpack of regret, we talk a lot about desolations on the show, okay? Desolations are those voices from Satan where he whispers in our spiritual ear, trying to dissuade us from doing those things that God would want us to do. That's what that regret is. And I want you, every time you feel that regret, I want you to give it to God, and I want you to say, Lord, help me respond to my son now the way you need me to, the way he needs me to. And I want you to actually to imagine taking that regret and giving it back to Satan, because that's where it comes from. Because the devil doesn't want you to respond to your son. He just wants you to sit there beating up on yourself. And the more you do that, the less available you are emotionally to all of your kids, but especially your son who's in pain right now. And Monica, they're going to kick us out of here. So if there's more that we can do to support you in healing this relationship, reach out to us directly at CatholicCounselors.com, and we'll be able to coach you the rest of the way. But thank you so much for the call. You are a good mom. You have a beautiful heart, and God's going to lead you through this. Thanks for reaching out to us today. God bless.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.